This podcast brought to you by IFR Magazine, the magazine for the accomplished pilot.
This is Jeff Van West reporting from AirVenture 2017, where ATC privatization is a hot topic in forums and over plates of bratwurst. One of the perks of working the show as a journalist is the opportunity to talk with insightful, articulate people throughout the industry. Virtually all of them oppose ATC privatization, but their reasons and perspectives vary. The discussions inform my thinking on the issues, and I'd like to share a few of those with you, edited together with the permission of the speakers. Alan Klapmeyer from One Aviation will tell you this is a fundamentally flawed plan.
I'm strongly opposed to privatization, strongly, and believe that there are significant reasons for that position and that they're generally glossed over. The word privatization has lots of connotations for people, but generally the presumption is that in a free market economy you get better efficiency from a business operation as opposed to a government. The problem with that is that this is not a market mechanism. There is no, from the definition of capitalism and free market economics, you have to have competition as the mechanism to drive efficiency. This is a natural monopoly, and therefore to turn over a natural monopoly to an in quotes nonprofit, you have no mechanism to incent or to drive efficiency and access and all those things. So it's a fundamentally flawed concept from the very beginning. Without this sounding too inflammatory, I believe that the case for privatization has been presented in a deliberately misleading way. And I don't know how you compromise with that. There's been no actual debate of how the process would work. Lofty statements are thrown around about the supposed benefits, and negatives are cast inaccurately about the efficiency of the system, the progress towards modernization. So it is so obviously not a reasonable debate that how do you choose middle ground on that? It does need to be, and I'm pleased that the industry is now generally coalesced around this. I mean, for a long time, even on the general aviation side, there has been a debate about whether or not there was a compromise or a reasonable position here. And I believe that the concept is so flawed that I do not think there is.
Joe Brown of Hartzell Propeller believes it's also just poor public policy.
Who thinks it's a good idea to give National Treasure $20 billion worth of air traffic control assets to a private monopoly that doesn't have to pay for them and isn't accountable to the congressional overseers that have been managing with FAA our airspace for 50 years? When that thing exists, everything that it does that the public may dispute, or a private pilot may dispute, or a business pilot may dispute, will now be adjudicated by the courts. Today I can call my congressman and I can say, I have a problem with noise in my neighborhood. And they listen. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to call this corporate headquarters somewhere? They don't even have to answer the phone. So my recourse is to call an attorney. That is a fundamental change in our citizens' right to the skies. Today we talk to Congress, tomorrow we're going to talk to an attorney. That's not good for America, not in my opinion. There's this question about the current bill right now. The tax mechanism for funding the enterprise isn't set. It's to be determined sometime later. So we're going to throw this thing over the wall. It's going to take 5 to 7 years to figure out what it means. We might have to adjudicate in the courts exactly what it means, and we don't even know how it's going to be funded. That's not good governance.
Pete Bunce of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association followed the logical chain of liability with a private entity.
But that's another question. With a new entity out there, how are you going to handle, you know, the recent accident where the government claim responsibility with the F-16 and the 172, how are you going to handle that? We as manufacturers of aviation products have a line of lawyers looking at every time there is a mishap and trying to go and get money out of the system. They will go and come up with the most crazy ideas of a clause for an accident. Fortunately for us, technology is getting better that we now have recordings where we can show a jury exactly what happened. But even then, we don't know what the outcome is going to be. It depends on where the jury is. Can you imagine a system that's privatized with a privatized entity, and every single mishap, there will be lawyers chasing after that entity. For it may not be a death. It may be just the damage of an aircraft. And whether air traffic control had any culpability in the incident whatsoever, they're going to get sued. So now what is going to happen? That the lawyering up comes with a cost. And those start to mount. What are they going to do? They're going to have to pass it on to the entities that use the system that will then pass it on to the consumer.
Here's Alan Klapmeyer again, who isn't concerned about user fees so much as the ATC services themselves.
It's really not about user fees. I think that user fees would pale in comparison to the damage done by the restrictions of access that would come inevitably with this structure, and particularly because of a proposal to try and limit user fees, which opens the door up to, okay, if you're not going to pay, then we're going to limit access.
Yet Dan Schwinn of Avidyne pointed out the undeniable truth that the cost of ATC has skyrocketed, so this can't be put off forever. He thinks it's worth considering where there's compromise and even progress in a bill like this.
And everybody's aware of the things that are problematic. It primarily comes down to control and cost. So the thing that the industry is focused on, especially, is the control factor. And you know, you hear about the board of this new independent organization being made up primarily of airline influence reps. And that is something that should be and is very concerning to the industry. Now, the other side of that coin, and something that we're not really talking about, is, you know, what could be a good thing about a major restructuring of the way ATC is operated? And the things that you hear touted are, you know, stable funding, better innovation and better modernization, and eventually lower costs. Okay, so those all sound pretty good to me. And they also sound not necessarily related to the financing and the control mechanism. So I think it's interesting to think about how could you separate those two and get the what we would consider the good stuff and try and leave behind the not so good stuff. One of the four examples that I like to use when I'm talking about this, and there are several good ones, is things like the contract towers, the outsourcing of flight service, and the development of the ADS-B network. So these are three fairly different things that were done effectively by outsourcing as compared to privatization. Outsourcing is I take a government function and I make it into a government purchased product or service, right? Where somebody else is doing it, the government's buying it, paying for it, right? So this is what happens in a contract tower. This is what happens in flight service. And this is what happened with the ADS-B network being put out. One of the things you hear about all the time is, well, the capital projects are a disaster in the current structure, right? But the ADS-B network was not a disaster because the government wrote a contract for 20 years of services and the contractor went out and raised all the money and built the network. So I like to think that, you know, there may be a model of continued outsourcing that achieves some of these objectives that we agree with, which are lower cost, more stable funding, and you know, basically faster modernization. So I think that you can do that without touching the governance and funding scheme. And in fact, it will benefit it over time because costs will come down if you do that, as it has in all three of those cases that I cited. I think that there's a specific proposal on the table. It's very problematic for GA. You know, unfortunately, in the polarized world, when there's probably no negotiating around it very much. So the industry takes the stance it has, and as well it should. However, I'm hopeful that at some point we can, you know, start to try and influence this debate in a fashion where we, you know, try and get the things that we should all be supportive of, and talk about a path to have them happen, while we still maintain our position about the control-related issues, which are really the primary issue.
Here's Pete Bunce again with points about smart reductions in cost.
We are a huge advocate of not only contract towers, but a huge advocate of being able to do remotely piloted or remotely operated towers, where you can go and it may not be 24 hours a day. You may remote the feed when there's little activity so that you can use it to keep people busy at night. Let's say in the Washington, D.C. area, you could remote National Airport to Dulles and some of the other airfields around into one place between, let's say, midnight and 6 a.m. and use the people you have better. The controllers seem to love that remote tower capability because they can go, their situational awareness is so good with the camera technology that we have. They can change filters on it. They have a box around it. What's radar identified tells them what it is, better than the Mark II eyeballs that we have out there. So there's great things that we could do that still leaves the FAA in charge of the system. Sure, you can study areas where what we should privatize or what would be smart to privatize, sure. People could do that. We haven't really studied how many, in this day of modern telecommunications, how many centers do we really need? I can guarantee you the number's not 21. In this modern day of how we communicate, and 21 where some of them have really old infrastructure and some of them are in places of the country that are susceptible to hurricanes and things like that, we probably ought not to do that. But government can handle that. Government handled it on the military side with very successful rounds of BRACs. They were painful. But how do we solve the problem? We said we formed a commission and said it's an up or down vote for Congress. They can make their case in front of the commission, but in the end, they're going to make recommendations and you take it or leave it.
So how do you make this work? What's the model to follow in structuring the future of ATC? Here's one more comment from Pete Bunce.
Well, I think right now we have this Next Gen Advisory Committee and we have formed a similar committee for what's called the Drone Advisory Committee to be able to go in and help that industry grow and get into the system. Those types of things where you have large groups of stakeholders around the table really do make progress.